Uh-oh.
This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235, and let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Wow. New opening and all. Wow. It delayed there. I was a little worried with that delay. I think because I
put that on as the automatic start, and I did that today, but this show was scheduled a week ago. I think it was looking for the startup file from a week ago, if that makes sense. Because when you schedule it, it says, do you want to have a startup file? Just click the default, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's the same thing. So I just changed it today, and I don't know, maybe it was still thinking, you know, it was looking for something else on there, and this is a different name. So I'm hoping that's what it was. But this is set to automatically start, so we'll see how it works. But
still, nice new opening for us here.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Good for the production company.
Yeah. What? So bus people, what do you think? What do you think? All right. Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Wow. Now, normally we have, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before we get the guest on. Now it's like 3.5.
Yeah. Usually get guests on at, you know, 5 after.
Five after.
2.5 minutes, and we're going, whoa! Now
it's over.
Now it's over, and we've got like almost 4 minutes. Yeah, so.
That was quick.
But I never. Okay. I need to go back. Everyone's going to have to bear with us for a moment here. But you said you're going to get a hang glider.
No. There's a place up in Seminole. They do glider flying, and you can go up with an aerobatic glider pilot, and they'll do some. When I talked to the pilot at Sun and Fun, I mean, there was just amazing, stunts, whatever you call them, that they do, and they said, "Oh yeah, we can take you up, and you know, here's a discount and everything." I was like, "Are you got to be kidding me?" And so I went to the website, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is stomach churning!" But it'd be cool to do that in a glider because it's quiet, and they don't even wear a headset. That's how quiet it is. They said they go up, and they never use a headset because it's there's no engine sounds or anything. So I'm thinking seriously about what's the show? Oh, okay. Anyway, so, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, cool. That sounds like fun. I've something else I've always wanted to do. That has been on my bucket list for years. Is, you know, going a glider. Yeah. They're all over
across
the place.
That one off.
I can't remember. California is when I first saw one, and you know, with the thermals off of the water and all that there. They're all over the place there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that'd be a good spot. Mm-hmm. And the mountains and everything, you can get pretty good up there. What do we have? We have a special guest tonight, and is it almost it is time, I guess.
Yeah, it's close.
I can go get
time.
Our.
Yeah,
okay.
Cool.
I'll go get our.
We'll find them.
Be right.
Find out where they are.
Be right back.
All right. Now we do have guests tonight. We have Richard and Laura Labar. I'm not sure. Labar, I think it is, from Ennery River Winery in South Carolina, Newberry, actually, South Carolina. And they were actually guests at the winery, a week ago, something like that. And Laura did a tasting, and Richard and I talked, Laura talked, and they, I said, well, do you have a winery? And they said, yes. And so we brought them on the show, and that's, Mike's going to get them now and bring them, we'll get them onto the show, and I think they're both going to be on. They, when we talked at the winery, they said that they'd put it on speaker, and they both could to talk to us at that time, and we'll find out what they do and all that good stuff. If you would like to check out their website while we're on the show, you can go to EnoreRiverWinery.com. That's E-N-O-R-E-E, EnoreRiverWinery.com. And that's their website, and you can check that out also. Oh, well, Mike's been calling them, but I don't see where they've connected yet. There's somebody in the green room, and Mike is back, and maybe they're sitting there waiting for us. There, okay. Well, let's bring them on.
There you go. Okay.
There we go. All right, let's bring them on there. Hello, Richard and Laura. Welcome to All About Wine.
Hello, welcome to Newberry, South Carolina. It's just beautiful weather up here.
Yeah, it is down here too. But of course it is Florida. It's always beautiful weather in Florida. So, I was just before you got on there while Mike was getting a hold of you, I was telling everyone that you had been guests in the winery, and we invited you to join us on the show, and you said that you would. So, welcome. I'm glad that you were able to make it. Did you enjoy your stay in Florida?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. We stayed about 5 days, I guess, visiting family members.
Yeah, and we're planning on being back to about the first week in June also.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, good. You get starting to get so familiar with it, before you know it, you're going to be moving down here.
Well, I was raised in Tampa, so I'm very familiar with Florida, and too many people live there now. We like South Carolina, where I have cows as neighbors, and I can see the stars.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. 600 people a day move into Florida. Yeah, that's a lot. Now, it's not just all right in the Tampa Bay area, but 600 people a day move into Florida. That's, you know, that's just amazing.
Yeah, I always like to ask people from up north if when they move down, at least to South Carolina, if they brought their snow shovels with them.
Yeah, we always tell them that they can throw away their ice scrapers now. Don't need those anymore. So, Enery River Vineyards and Winery. How long ago have you all been in existence?
We've probably been at a federal winery about 9 years. We've had the property about 12 years, and everything that we have out there is from scratch. The land was extremely fertile. It was a lot of sandy loam with a little bit of red clay in there. And it used to be a cow pasture, and the people across the street used to have chicken coops. So the land was very fertile, and of course, you know, we planted muscadine because that's about the only thing that's going to grow here or, you know, in Florida also.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, the grapevines are, you know, we have about 6 years of picking, so we're doing pretty well.
Good. And I noticed on your website, and I'm going to – yeah, sounds good. I noticed on your website, and I'm going to flick to your website here so I can talk to you about it. Notice on your website that you have, let's see, wine menu. Let me go to that. If it will view now. There we go. Notice that you have some vinifera, the Pinot Grigio and the Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir. Well, where do those come from?
Well, we buy juice, and it comes frozen like in 55-gallon drums, and we thaw it and pump it into our tanks.
so we're able to process more than just muscadine. And then we also blend some of the vinifera grapes with our muscadine and come up with different blends.
Oh, very good. So the like the Barbarian, is that Barbera grape or is that just a blend?
No, it's a blend. And actually we had a lady who worked for us on Saturdays and her name was Barbara. And she asked us over and over again, she wanted a wine label named for her, because we name a lot of our wine labels after our animals. We have three dogs and one cat, and so we do a lot of animals on our labels. And so anyway, so she asked us for a label, and so we made one for her. Her name is Barbara, and so we named it the Barbarian. And then it also includes a picture of our two Australian shepherds and our cat, whose name is Robin, on the label. So that's why we came up with the Barbarian. And actually, it's a blend of our white Carlos Muscadine and a Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, wow. You keep it sweet, or do you tone it down with the Sauvignon Blanc?
It's toned down. The residual sugar in it is probably about a one.
Wow, you really do bring
yeah,
it down.
So it's fairly dry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. So you're, well, let's get back. I'm getting ahead of myself looking at the grapes. I usually talk about those after we talk about your vineyard. What do you have planted? How many acres?
We probably have about 6 or 7 acres planted. The total property is about 18 acres. And we probably have about 6 or 7 acres that are planted. We started out, actually, we got our initial vines from a nursery south of Jacksonville. And we initially got 800 vines. And of course, you know, all of them have not survived, but we still got plenty of them. And then we planted more. We planted if it came through Mexico, it's called Black Spanish. If it came through Savannah or South Carolina, it's called Lenoir. And it's doing fairly well. We should get some crop next year out of it if the deer don't eat it like they did last year.
Oh, no.
And we've got some other things. We've got some ice and supposed to be like a blueberry flavor, and we tried to plant some Blanc de Bois. It needs to be worked on a little bit, and we got a Herbimont that we got some cuttings from a Valverde winery out of Texas. And it's in the greenhouse now at the Newberry County School District. And hopefully we'll get some Herbimont and some more Black Spanish.
Oh, very good. And the school district, they willing to work with you there?
Yes. Newberry
County. Yes, the Career Center at Newberry County. And
yeah.
So they have a agricultural classes and big greenhouses and stuff, and so we take our cuttings or whatever that we have available, and we give it to them for them to root and to grow, and then they transplant them, and then we pay them, you know, per plant for taking care of them and getting them started for us.
Oh, well, that's a good symbiotic relationship there. That works out real well.
It
gives them an opportunity to work with the plants and you the opportunity to not have to fool with them all the time.
Yeah, that's very true.
They're a lot better at rooting and getting the plants growing than we are.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Because they probably give it more attention and more care. You just, you know, probably so busy, you don't have the time for it. Yeah.
And then we make a contribution to the school district. And so it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, very good. Very good. The vineyard, when do you usually get bud break up there?
We get bud break? It's starting to leaf out now. We trimmed probably about the beginning of 1st of March. And it takes us about three weeks. We have like three people out there working. We actually hire people to do the trimming and also do the picking. I always like to say that when we first started and the grapes weren't really producing a whole lot, we had friends who were helping us do the picking. And then as they got more and more grapes, we started losing friends.
And so we decided to.
Yeah, that's why wineries love to get people. I'll tell you what, I'll give you some wine if you pick grapes for me. And
yeah, well, the as far as muscadine grape is a lot harder to pick than a vinifera. You know, with a vinifera, they just one big pile and you just clip it. Whereas the muscadine, they're more individual, and you've got to, you know, shake the vine and you know, use your hands to just, you know, shake it. And what we do is we have a rectangular, you know, frame with a tarp in the middle and then a hole cut it, and then people will shake the grapes and they'll fall into the tarp, fall into a bucket. And then that's pretty much how we pick it rather than just coming through there and just clipping them.
Ah, that's why the automatic pickers, the machine pickers work so well on muscadine because they just, you know, run underneath them and do that. So, but it's hard on the vines, those machine pickers. It really shakes those things. So
we do it by hand.
Yeah, really the best way to do it. You also get, you were telling me you get juice, like your blueberry, your plum, these you also get juice in and blend that with your...
We work with juice products out of Chicago, and the juice comes, the fruit juice comes in concentrate, and so we get the concentrate, and then we dilute it to the right consistency, and then do the fermentation and everything else. But it is 100% fruit. A lot of times when you go to a store or whatever and look at your fruit wines, it will say white grape with natural flavoring, whereas ours is 100% fruit.
Oh, wow.
And right now we have plum and blueberry, and we've got cooking now a blackberry, an elderberry, and an apple.
Wow. I noticed you have a plum here. You're not making plum this year?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we've got a plum right now. Yeah, plum and blueberry is what we have right now.
And plum and blueberry. Hey, I'm looking at your picture here. I'm ahead of you on this.
We're real quick. The website that we have right now is fairly new, and we're real happy with it.
Yeah, it's well put together. It's got everything here. Let's go on to the winery itself now. Stainless steel or oak?
Well, actually, right now we have we use plastic containers.
Plastic, good for you.
Yeah. We use plastic containers. We have checked into some stainless steel, but we just have not purchased some yet. Although we have talked about buying the stainless steel to be able to age the wines with. And oak, we don't really, around here, most of our customers prefer wines that are not oaked. And it's just in South Carolina, people just prefer the sweeter wines. And so on occasion, we would oak a wine, but we don't do it, you know, on a regular basis.
In South Carolina, we like our sweet tea, and so we give them our sweet wine also.
It's sweet wine along with it. There you go. Yeah, a lot of. I talked to a winery up in Kentucky, Tennessee. I'm not sure which one. I can't remember right now. I think Tennessee. And the proprietor, the winemaker, said that muscadine grape. He said the muscadine grape is the Native American grape. We need to promote this. We need to get the world to understand this is our grape. We need to get people to go out and buy it, and taste it, and drink it. And I mentioned, well, you know, there's people out there. A lot of people don't like the muscadine. He said it's only because they're not educated. We need to educate them and get them to buy the muscadine. So. Yeah, it's
actually the scuppernong, which a lot of people think that there's scuppernong and muscadine, but scuppernong is a muscadine. It was discovered by Sir Walter Raleigh in the Scuppernong River in North Carolina. And what we find is the fact that the people who grew up, you know, eating muscadines like it. The people who have never experienced muscadines before, you know, it's kind of a weird taste for them. And plus, it's usually sweet. And so, you know, especially the ones who like the dry wines, you know, necessarily like the sweet wines. But we do find that the ones who don't like the dry wines like the sweet fruit wines.
Yeah, and the muscadine gives you that profile of that sweet, and it depends on how it's made too. I mean, I've had some muscadines that were made in a little bit drier style that gave you a whole different outlook on the muscadine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can oak a muscadine and it tastes and smells nothing like a muscadine would. So it kind of depends on your process and how you treat it. Now, of course, you know, around here, people like the muscadine. You know, it brings back wonderful memories. They'll come in and smell it and they go, oh my gosh, this tastes, you know, it smells just like what I remember as a child. You know,
yeah.
So it brings back a lot of wonderful memories for people.
Yeah, and also the prior to Prohibition, the Scuppernong wine was the most popular wine in America, and it was not until after Prohibition that California became dominant. And we visited some wineries in the North Georgia mountains one time, and the person working behind the bar was telling these people that the Scuppernong or the Muscadine was not a real grape, and of course we had to educate the person behind the bar that yes, it's American grape. Those foreigners.
Well, I've been asked that before too at the winery. I mean, people come in and they say, you know, I had a muscadine. What is that? Is that some sort of a berry? And I go, well, no, it's a grape. It really, you know. And they go, oh,
yeah.
You know, no, it's not a berry. It's, you know, it's, but, people don't understand. They're so used to going down to the store and grabbing themselves their standard bottle of Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon or Sauvignon Blanc or Moscato, and they don't understand the whole aspect that there is another whole type of wine out there. And it's good.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, you know, as far as the muscadine grape, of course, you know, the skin is a lot thicker than
mm-hmm.
the average grape. And also, you know, the seeds. And it's really funny, you know, with the muscadine grape, when you eat it, you kind of spit out the seeds and the skin and just, you know, suck in the juice. And so you have a person who has never had a muscadine grape before, and you tell them it's politically correct to spit it out, they kind of go, what?
Well, you know, and along that same line, how many people have actually had an opportunity to pop a Cabernet Sauvignon grape in their mouth? Or any of those others. I mean, you know, so, you know, those have a lot of seeds too. So, you know, when you start, you know, but they don't understand. All they know is the wine that comes from it. They don't understand that the grapes themselves are completely different than, you know, the product. So, yeah. Oh, well. So, you're using plastic barrels. That's good. I'm hearing more and more wineries that I'm talking to use that. I mean, and if my stainless steel tanks that I use at the winery there and at the vineyards start having problems, I would go to plastic in a heartbeat. I've done some research on them, and cheaper, easier to move, all that stuff. And so,
yeah, we find that the vinifera juice that we get, we work with Vine Mount Vineyards out of Ontario, Canada, and they get mainly West Coast type juices. And, you know, and we do the fermentation right there in the 55-gallon drums that they send it down in. And then once the fermentation is stopped, then we transfer it over into our other tanks.
Oh, so that's convenient there, too. You not have to worry about transferring immediately.
We work with the people here as far as the Department of Agriculture, and they do rain barrel buildings for people, and so the barrels that we have we give them to the Department of Agriculture people here, and then when they have programs that they make rain barrels for people, they use those barrels.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's an idea. I've got some extra barrels I need to find a way to dispose of. I might get a hold of someone and see if they can use them for rain barrels. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you've got them all fermented and all that. Let's talk about your wines. Now I've got them pulled up here. We got an un-oak Chardonnay. Now, this comes, the grapes come from where on this?
Mainly the West Coast.
The West Coast? All right. So we got none oak
Chardonnay. I can't tell you exactly where it's come from, but it is the West Coast.
And that's, yeah, my Chardonnay, if Laura remembers, it's un-oaked also. So, you know, I prefer an un-oaked myself. The red raspberry.
Well, the red raspberry is juice made from juice that we have purchased from Juice Products, and it comes concentrate. And then, like Richard said earlier, we have, you know, blend it back up with the right consistency and get it back to where it's suitable, you know, to be turned into wine. So there's no, you know, grapes involved with our
it's
red
all
raspberry wine.
That's 100%
right.
100% grape raspberry. What's the what's sugar on this then?
What's the sugar?
Yes.
After or before?
If I were to drink it, yeah. What is the sugar on it?
Well, we were able. You really have to add sugar back to it after the fermentation, just because red raspberry is so tart.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we would typically build it back up after we dilute it with the water because of this concentrate. And then we would get it back up to the 1.09, you know, to start the fermentation. And right. Then as, you know, the alcohol came out, of course, when it's completely dry initially, you know, it's probably not very drinkable.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, because it's so tart. So we have to add, sometimes we add honey, sugar. We add other things to it to make it, you know, more pleasant. And it usually ends up being anywhere between 7.5 and 10 as far
wow.
as the sweetness levels. Yeah.
If a person was a diabetic, they might not want to stay. They might want to stay away from the food.
They might not want to have a glass. Wow.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem that sweet. It's just because the red raspberry is so tart that the sugar kind of counteracts that tartness.
Yeah. Well, what's the alcohol then? What is your ABV?
It's still 12%. You know,
is
cause
it?
Yeah, it's still 12% because we ferment it, you know, start off at the 1.09 and, you know, then it cooks down all the way to zero specific gravity. And then we, after it's ready, then we add the sugar back to it to
uh-huh.
make it sweeter.
Does it taste like a raspberry?
Oh, yeah, it's very good and especially good with some chocolate pieces.
yeah, I can imagine it would be, yeah. it looks interesting. A raspberry, red raspberry wine. That just is great. Your plum.
Yeah, actually, that's one of our best sellers.
Is it? Yeah.
Our best. We do a cranberry. That we have a festival in October, the second week in October, and where we bring out our cranberry wine, and then we sell it until the end of the year, and then we stop. But you know, the cranberry wine, you can for Thanksgiving and Christmas or. You could mix it with champagne and add a little bit of orange juice to it and have a very nice mimosa in the morning.
Oh. All right. It's 100% cranberry?
Yes.
Yeah. And, again, what does your sugar come in on that?
You probably don't want to know.
That's why it's so popular.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. And you can cook it down, you know, and make like a syrup to go over your turkey and dressing.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
Cheesecake also. Looks good on cheesecake, too.
Oh, I'm going to have to make a trip. Bring some down with you. Let me buy some. I have to bring some down with you. That sounds – oh, you don't have any. It's not that time of year. Oh, well.
The fruit wines also work well if you want to use like a hot day, especially with like a spritzer, you can add 7-Up or Sprite to it. Or if you want to cut down the sugar content of the sweetness, you can use a club soda.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Your plum wine. That's 100% plum?
100% plum.
Yep. Taste like plums?
Taste like plums. Yeah, very good.
It tastes like sweet plums, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Tastes like sweet plums.
Tastes like, smells like, must be.
It's fruit wines, I say. Okay, let's see. Your curiously white wine. I see the cat on it. That's your cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened there is when we got our vines from a nursery south of Jacksonville, Florida, there were also St. Carlos with the white noble, which was the red. And then when they matured, we found that 20 or so of the vines were something else.
Oh.
So we're not real sure what they are. What variety are they? It is a muscadine. It's just a different size, shape, color, taste, and everything else from the Carlos. And so since we didn't really know what it was, we called it curiously white. And as a person here in Newberry, says, a woman named Sue Summer, says, why'd you let the truth get in the way of a good story? And so we have not searched out to find out what kind of grape it is.
There you go. All right. Good idea. No, it's but it is just a muscadine. You can do it.
Yes,
you just let it retain its sugars, or did you blend it down a little bit?
No, it's just 100% of that particular grape. We had about two dozen plants, and so we keep it separate from the Carlos. And this year we had about 80 gallons of that particular juice. And it's so, as a matter of fact, we sold our last bottle this past weekend, and it came out probably the end of January. So between the end of January and this past weekend, we sold about 80 gallons of curacao white. Yeah.
It's good.
It's very good.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it sells very well, too. Let's see, at 2.3 gallons per case. You sold about 40 cases within a matter of 2.5-3 months there. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, limited supply, and so therefore it's popular. People come and get it because they know when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, and and also I've noticed too that when I'm running low on a wine, everybody wants it. No matter what it is, if I'm running low on anything, everybody wants it. Then people come in and say, oh, I've been looking forward to it. And then they go, okay, here we go. The Sweet Tipsy Rose.
Wine business is marketing also. And we found, when we did our cranberry, we would cut it off, on December 31st. And then we had some more left over. And so we carried it on into January. And then the next year, people weren't in such a hurry to buy it again. So we cut it off at December 31st is the last day that we sell it. So we have more people that are interested in getting it because they know as of December 31st, it won't be back until October.
So do you have any left over?
Pardon me?
Do you have any left over and save it for the next year?
That's our story and we're sticking to it.
Very good. And I won't let out your secret. Your Sweet Tipsy Rose or Rosé?
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of our dogs, her name is Tipsy. This is named after her. And Sweet Tipsy Rose is actually, it's a blend, and we use one vinifera red, typically Merlot, and we have a vinifera white, which this past time we used Sauvignon Blanc. And then it also contains our white Carlos Muscadine. So it is a blend of two viniferas and one muscadine. But it's also very popular, too.
I can imagine. How much muscadine? What percentage?
It's usually about a third.
That's not a whole lot. I was thinking maybe more. That's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. So it's sweet, but it would be a softer sweetness then, not...
It is.
And that one's available year-round?
Just until supplies last. Usually our wines... Yeah, we usually rotate our wines out on pretty much regular basis, so that way people who live within a certain, you know, parameter of our area can come back and come back, you know, the next month or the next month and try something different. So we don't have the same wines over and over again. So we make, you know, a certain amount of Sweet Tipsy Rose, and we make a certain amount of whatever, you know, whatever wines that we are have, you know, available at that time. And then when it's out, it's out. And then we may not have it again for another year. And so we just keep rotating our list so that when people come back, it'll be something different.
And the demand is there, that because, oh, I love that, then you need to buy more, you know.
Yeah, that's right, because people will come in and ask for it. And every now and then we'll save some back, and where people will come in and just ask for it, and we may have some in the basement still. But, yeah, we like to try to please everybody and, you know, have the wines rotating in and out.
Oh,
you know, so you can please more people that way.
You would hope so, anyway. You would hope. But there's some people you can't please no matter what. Pinot Grigio. This is 100%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from the description here, it looks like it's just a standard Pinot Grigio. Dry, un-oaked, clean finish, semi-dry hints of grass. That, you know, sounds like just your typical Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
And it is. Like I said, we don't oak it. And we buy the juice, we ferment it, you know, and we make the Pinot Grigio. So all of our vinifera wines are not blended with muscadine. If it is blended with muscadine, then we let the customers know, and we typically, you know, we call it something different, and that's when we come up with the different names. We've got Sweet Southern Sass, the Sweet Tipsy Rose, the Barbarian, we've got a Dusty's Road, we've got a Rockin' Robin Red. So it's a lot of different other, you know, blends that we have, but we would, if it's 100% Pinot Grigio, that's what it is. It's Pinot Grigio.
Very good. I just clicked on the Barbarian here, and I can see Barbara's picture and the two dogs and the cat and everything. Is she thrilled that she has a wine named after her?
Yeah, she is. She's very thrilled.
Yeah, and you tell her that if it doesn't sell, then it's going to have to be discontinued. So she's going to have to really promote it.
Yeah.
Oh, Sweet Southern Sass, new edition. What is this?
Sweet Southern Sass. Let's see. Let me think if I can remember off the top of my head what it's blended with. Yeah, it's been a while since we made it, and actually we don't even have it on the list anymore. But I'm thinking it was a noble and a vinifera red. It may have been our noble muscadine and a vinifera red, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on it, but because I'm not right in front of my – records, so it's kind of hard to remember, but it was popular too.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot, I wasn't trying to do that. It sounds like it tends to be a little bit sweeter then, because name and the vinifera or the noble now.
Right.
At one time we had a wine that we don't have it right now, but a wine called Bless Her Heart.
And this is the new incarnation of Bless Her Heart. So,
there's some people that don't know what Bless Her Heart means, and so we have a little cartoon that describes what it is. And then if they want the long version, we have a long version of it.
Well, you're leaving us up in the air. We need to know
what Bless Her Heart means.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little cartoon that has a little old lady telling a senator and his aide, "I'll bless your heart." And the senator doesn't know what she's saying. And the aide turns to her and says, "She's calling you an idiot."
Yeah, well, that would make sense.
bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh, bless
so
your
you
heart.
You can say bless the heart and mean it in several different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, believe me, I've known some nice Southern ladies who always meant it that way. Yeah. Amber Days Wine. Is this named after Amber?
No, actually, the Amber Days. I'm trying to think.
That's a fall wine.
Yeah, it's one we have typically in the fall, but it is a blend, and it is
looks
a
like
blend. Yeah, it's a blend of our noble muscadine and a white vinifera,
oh.
And it's very popular too.
Yeah, well, it looks like a rosé blush. Style
yeah,
wine.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because our noble muscadine, right, we process it pretty much, we don't leave the skins on, but maybe 24 to 36 hours. So it picks up a little bit of the color. And so it doesn't have as many of the tannins picked up from the grape seeds. And
right.
So then we blend it with the white, which makes it more of the rosé. But yeah, it's very popular. We don't make it too sweet. It's typically about a 4, I think.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's about what mine
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
You tasted my blood.
On level. Right,
yeah.
Right. It's about a 4. So it's not too sweet, kind of in the middle.
Yeah. And then the Merlot, there's another one that you get in that's actually 100% Merlot. And Naked Noble. The Naked Noble.
Yeah, Naked Noble is our, well, we used to, when we first started and first picked the grapes, the Noble, we processed it and let the skins on. And so
mm-hmm.
It was just as deep color as like a Merlot or a Cab.
Oh, yeah.
But
Nobles
but
get
to
very
me,
dark.
Yeah, oh, they're beautiful, you know,
yeah.
Dark, dark purple skin. And, but the tannins, to me, it picked up too much of the tannin. It just wasn't quite as smooth. And so when we decided to process it and not leave the skins on quite as long, for about 3 days or so, we decided to make a new label for it, and we called it Naked Noble because we take the skins off of it real quick, and that's how it got the name Naked Noble.
And you just strip the skins off, yeah. Blueberry, you must be in the middle of making that right now. This is blueberry season.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, since we get the concentrate, we don't need to worry about whether they're in season or not. But we do have strawberry wine that we do get the strawberries and do it from scratch.
Uh-huh. And now, the blueberry is the blueberry a real sweet or
the blueberries, it's probably about a 7.5 on sweetness.
Oh, wow, it's up there then.
We typically have our fruit wine sweet, and just because that's just the way people like it.
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't prefer it that sweet. You know,
yeah.
I prefer it dry myself, but we make the wines as to how they will sell, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the blueberry, all of our fruit wines, though, are typically on the sweeter side.
I don't make my, well, you tasted mine. Mine aren't that sweet. I just decided to go another direction on it. But there's a winery down here. Well, a lot of blueberries around here, but Keel and Curly, which is located down in Plant City, makes three blueberries.
Yeah,
they make a very sweet one, a semi-sweet, and a dry one. And so that's why I was wondering how yours was, because they do all three, and they sell all three very well. That's, And then your Chardonnay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, we're such a small winery that we, you know, that making three different levels of sweetness just wouldn't be beneficial to us. You know, we have to go with the majority of our customers how they would like it.
And people like sweet. Yes, they do.
Yeah, around here. Yeah.
Just about everywhere. Yeah. Overall, sweet wines tend to be a little bit more popular. Chardonnay, we talked about that, so we won't talk about it again. Then we're back to the red raspberry. So, you know, that pretty much sums up your wines there. Is there anything new on the horizon?
Well,
We have cooking now a blackberry, and we're going to try an elderberry this time too. We some people have said elderberry is really good. And also we have a Montepulciano and a Sangiovese that we'll bring out when the cab and the Pinot Noir is gone. And we're going to do an apple this year too. And Laura's talking about doing a caramel apple just to do a little bit different.
So to answer the question, you're expanding a lot. There's going to be a lot more on your menu.
Yeah, like we said, we transfer the wines, you know, all the time we have something different.
Yeah, it sounds like good. And by rotating them, too, that keeps them all basically fresh for you. So that works out real well. Distribution. Do you distribute anywhere?
Well, the main problem, I don't know about Florida, but the main problem in South Carolina is the fact that the law reads that if 60% or more of your juice comes from South Carolina, you can sell directly to a retailer. If not, you have to go through the wholesaler. And unfortunately, there's only like 12 wineries in South Carolina. There's just not very many. And there's only one of the 12 has a wholesaler. So we have found that, not saying anything negative about wholesalers, but they don't want to fool with us because, most of the wineries in South Carolina are very small, and they make more money from California wines and stuff like that. And so, some of our blends that have the 60% on the muscadine, we can go directly to a retailer. And if not, we mainly just sell out of our tasting room. And I always like to say, how hard do I really want to work at this anyway?
Well, that's true. And you can say stuff bad about the wholesalers and the distributors because everybody in the wine business always does say stuff bad about them. So that's okay.
Well, I don't want to say anything bad, but they have all the money and all the power in the state legislature. So if they don't want it, you don't get it.
That's right, and it's an ongoing battle all over the country. I've talked to wineries everywhere, and it's an ongoing battle. Since you mentioned the state and stuff, federal government and state government, love them, hate them, want to kill them, want to kiss them. What's your attitude?
Basically, we're so small, we kind of try and fly underneath the radar. And, I've not had any problems with the feds or the state. We pay our sales tax, we pay our excise tax. The majority of the wineries in South Carolina are very small. And so, they're more interested in going after the big boys than they are the small boys.
Yeah. They don't want to close you down because they get a little bit of money from you every month anyway. So
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they go after you, then they'll start finding things. And they go, oh, well, yeah. So that's the better way to do it. When you were at the wine, visiting me at the winery, I asked you the pronunciation and how did you get the name in a
Okay.
I haven't mentioned that, but I wanted you to tell the story.
There's a lot of people that wonder, how to pronounce it. And of course, I always like to tell people when they're as old as I am. That they remember Herman's Hermits and the song Henry VIII and how he pronounced Henry, which he could pronounce it Ennery. And the Ennery River, when we first wanted to name the winery, we wanted to have a Newberry County flavor to it. And the Ennery River goes from Spartanburg, which is north of us, closer to the North Carolina border, and goes through a little bit of Newberry County into the Broad River towards Columbia, which is in the middle of the state. And it actually stands for Riverbanks Overflowing with Muscadines in Cherokee. So we said basically, it does go through a little bit of Newberry County, and we have muscadines here. So it may be a stretch, but that's how we came up with the name Ennery River Winery.
I see. How close are you to any water, any rivers, anything?
About 50 miles.
Really?
No.
So you're not close.
No. I would say maybe, about 10 miles or so from the river. Yeah.
So no influence at all from the river temperatures or anything?
No. Actually, the weather zone that goes to like northern part of South Carolina, North Georgia, Ennery is at the bottom, or Newberry County is at the bottom of that weather zone. So it's a different weather zone that goes to the middle of the state. And we're looking at the weather maps, looking at the soil maps, and we were very fortunate to find our location, which is really only about a half a mile off the interstate. So we figured location. We have a good location.
Yeah, you do. What is the summer highs and the winter lows there?
Yeah, the summertime temperatures can get pretty, steamy. We've had occasions where we've had like several weeks and, hitting 100 degrees, very humid. As far as the lows go, we don't typically get a lot of snow. We get maybe every couple of years we might have a little snowstorm, but usually in the wintertime it's more ice than it is snow. So I would think probably our lows, you're looking in the teens probably. Every now and then it'll drop down into the single digits. But not for very long, we kind of have a big range, of temperatures.
But you mentioned humidity. You do have humidity there then.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have humidity.
Bring you to your knees humidity, just like Florida. Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah. Very similar to Florida. Yeah.
Ooh. Mike, do you have any questions for Richard?
This is a great discussion. I'm glad you're on here, and thank you very much for coming on the show. My question is, what got you both interested in the wine business or motivated to start one? Was it a prior experience, a family in it? You had a boatload of disposable cash?
I would like to say stupidity. at one time in my life, I did a lot of traveling on the interstate in the southeast, and I always find the best way to travel on the interstate would be to go from one winery to another winery. Start talking to a lot of people, and it seemed you could go to wineries that are off the beaten path, and there were people there. So I was never into winemaking. In fact, I'd try to drink beer more than I drink wine. Laura's the winemaker. And, got interested more in the business aspect of it, that it seemed like it would be kind of an interesting business to get in. Of course, it's always a lot prettier from the one side of the bar versus being a bartender.
Yeah.
And then found out there's a lot of work. And I always like to say my five-year plan was to get a white suit, a glass of wine, a Cuban cigar, and a rocking chair. Of course, I've been at it for 10 years, and I'm still in blue jeans and a T-shirt.
And no rocking chair.
Yeah. But anyway, Laura and I have been married a little over 10 years now. And when we were, dating, we started talking about it. We visited a lot of wineries. We've been very fortunate. A lot of nice people and good people have come in and out of our lives at different times. And my brother, who lives in Brooksville, came up for a couple of years and helped us get started as far as laying out the vineyard and stuff like that. And he decided that it was way too cold up here in South Carolina, so he moved back to Florida.
But yeah, I guess the single digits every once in a while.
We're real fortunate for people, helping us out.
Do you both have similar roles, or do you have one thing that you're doing for the business, and then Laura's doing something else, or how do you work out the business?
Basically, as far as Laura is the winemaker, and she answers a lot of the questions that come over the internet, and then I handle the tasting room and the vineyard and the land, and we also hire a social media person, which we found very effective. We tried all kind of different advertising to get the word out, Living Social, Groupon, radio and things like that. And we have pretty much found that living, that the social media is the best way to get out.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you very much for that's.
And Mike always asked, and he didn't this time. Are you guys on a wine trail of any sort up there?
Oh yeah.
With only 12 wineries in the whole state of South Carolina, it's hard to have a wine trail.
Very short trail.
Very short trail.
with your proximity to Georgia, I thought, you know, is it? I mean, you are close to the border, right? I mean, with the north.
Actually, if you know anything about South Carolina, Columbia is kind of like in the middle of the state.
Oh, okay.
And then closer to the North Carolina border is Greenville-Spartanburg.
Right.
And Interstate 26 going through there. And we're like halfway between Columbia and Spartanburg.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. That's. I was thinking maybe there was a trail shared there that you were on, you know, close enough you could be a part of that. But I guess, okay, I see how that goes.
No.
Okay. Wow.
We're all alone.
Wow.
Yeah, but we still have people coming up from Columbia and the Chaffin area and Irmo and stuff like that. We're about 35 minutes from Columbia, so it's a nice little drive. You can get out of the city. You can come out and sit on our deck, enjoy. You can bring some food with you if you want. We have a thing called Pack the Porch. Every Sunday in May, we have music on the deck. Then we have a festival in October. So we have some different activities going on, and for a person that lives in the city and wants to get out to the country, they're more than welcome.
How big is Newberry? How
big? Not that big.
Is there more than a general store and a post office?
Barely.
Actually, we even have a couple of Walmart.
We have one
Walmart.
Yeah, well, if you have a Walmart, you're part of the big city features there. You mentioned, and I just received my email yesterday. Was it yesterday or today? Today. I just received
your, a newsletter?
This is my newsletter about your May porch events, Pack the Porch Sundays in May. Liz, tell us about that.
Well, we've got four different musicians all lined up each Sunday, and we typically are open from 2 to 6 on Sundays. And so with the special events, we're officially open 2 to 6, but we'll have music from 2:30 to 5:30. And we ask that people bring their own chairs and their blankets. And we call it Pat the Porch, but usually it extends off the porch into the grounds, the vineyard. So if people want to sit and listen to music, they better have their own chairs packed away too. But it's a real good time. We have some great musicians that come out and perform. And we sell wine by the glass, by the bottle. And we have, you know, soft drinks and water available, too. But it's just a fun time. We have a lot of different families that will, you know, come in and friends and just get together and just hang out for the afternoon.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and if the music police are listening in, it's all original music.
Yeah, I know. That's, Most people don't know what we're talking about, but I do. Yes. So you do that every May. And then you say in October you have another event, another thing that you do?
Yeah, we have a harvest festival. That we do in October, and we usually have about 300 people that come out to it, and we have a big, we have a little band stage, and then we have a big field where people kind of sit out, and we have some food vendors and some, people that come out and sell their crafts, and it's kind of just a party atmosphere.
Fantastic. That sounds like fun, and it doesn't get cold then yet, though, so it's good so people aren't shivering.
No, it's like the only thing you hope for, it doesn't rain.
Yeah, yeah. October is getting toward that season where the fronts go through, though. So,
yeah.
Well, very good. Any other questions, Mike?
No, I'm good. Just want to get the hours, location, how people can contact you and all that. And, yeah, everything is good. Thank you.
It's going to be the next thing. So, Richard and Laura, whoever, give us all of your contact information, including social media contacts and phone numbers and hours and everything, websites and all that stuff. So, anyone out there listening?
We've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's by chance or by appointment. Typically speaking, Richard's usually there. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is from noon to 6, and Sunday, 2 to 6. Our address is 1650 Dusty Road, and Dusty is also the name of our dog, and that's Newberry. And also, Dusty Road plus our dog's name, Dusty, too. And let's see, our website is EnneryRiverWinery.com. Our email is EnneryRiverVineyards@gmail.com. Let's see if I left anything out. Phone number is area code 803-276-2855.
And Facebook? Twitter?
Facebook, yes. We do have Facebook and we do have Twitter. Facebook is Ennery River Winery. Twitter, Instagram, I believe it's all the same.
Okay.
You can find us under Ennery, it's hard for me to say too, Ennery River Winery.
Everyone loves an Ennery. E-N-O-R-E-E for all of you who haven't looked it up. Ennery.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, very good.
Links are, social media links are on the website too, so if you go down to the bottom of the page on the right side, you'll see the address, phone number, hours, and then they have links also to Instagram, Yelp, and TripAdvisor. There you go. So you have all those links on your page and
Twitter, everything
for everybody to find. Yeah. So check out the website. It's a beautiful website. So
thank you.
I gave the address to the website before they came on while you all were getting connected. So
good.
Hopefully people followed us on this. Well, thank you very much, you two, for taking your time out tonight. Thank you for visiting the winery last week. I guess it was last week. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed your visit there. And thanks for taking the time to talk with us tonight. Very interesting. A lot of fun. And best of luck to you and everything else. If we ever get up in that area, we will definitely stop by and taste some of the wines. Maybe you can pull out something that you're really not selling right now so I can taste it.
We appreciate the opportunity of being on the radio with y'all.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And, all right.
And y'all take care of yourself. And when you come down again, surprise me. Bring down one of those wines.
Okay. We will do that.
Great. Awesome. Thank y'all very much. Have yourself a good evening and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye. Okay. Wow. Very, very entertaining. A lot of fun, definitely, for sure.
Yeah. They were fun. We had a good time at the winery. They came in. Laura did a tasting, and Richard didn't. But actually, Laura take a sip of a wine. She go, "Oh, here, you had to try this," and hand it to him. And then the next, "Oh, here." And so most of the wines he ended up trying anyway. So even though he said he wasn't one.
So good. All right. Very good. I don't see any events this weekend.
Busy next weekend, but not this weekend. But before we get off the air, as always, I have to fill you in on what the days are this week so you have a reason to drink wine. Tomorrow is tea day, which wine and tea, I don't know, but the tannins and tea. Well, Saturday, National Jelly Bean Day. And it's also Earth Day, by the way, and that's always a good reason to drink wine. National Cherry Cheesecake Day comes in Sunday, and it's also National Picnic Day. So there you go, a great opportunity to take some rosé wine out with you on a picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Monday, National Pigs in a Blanket Day. Tuesday, National Zucchini Bread Day. I've had zucchini bread. I've had some really good zucchini bread, and I've had some really bad zucchini bread. So, yeah. I really have. Wednesday, National Pretzel Day. And then Thursday, National Prime Rib Day. There's where you get out the big boys, your calves and merlots and a little bit of prime rib. What a great combination there. So
fantastic.
So that's what you got coming up this next week. And have a reason. As always, if we need a reason to drink, you got something to salute to. So so there you go. So
awesome. Very good. Very good show. And enjoyed it. We'll see everybody next Thursday, which will be April the 27th. That's easy to remember. April 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio. And hey, thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard and Laura, for your time, and see you all next week.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. There we go.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridastateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on the show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.